You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Welcome back. Hour number two here of the program. Jimmy B and TC as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Well, a wild afternoon in the NFL. And well, I had to go to the emergency phone line. We go to the bullpen and bring in one of the best. He's Ryan Van Bibber with SB Nation, and he joins us right now. Ryan, appreciate it. Gave you a short window of opportunity, but you're able to hop on and help us what has been one of the wilder afternoons I can remember in the NFL in quite some time.
Yeah, the whole week. I mean, it's just been wild this week.
Well, the biggest news, I would say, at least for the here and now, is the news that just came out a little bit ago, Deshaun Watson tearing his ACL in practice for the Houston Texans, and he will be out, obviously, for the season with that one. After what we saw a week ago, we've seen what this guy has meant and just how quickly he's been able to adapt to the NFL. It was one when I first saw the news, when I see it scrolling across on Twitter, just makes your stomach turn.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer. I mean, you know, this is just like, this guy's fun to watch. I mean, whether you're, I'm not a Texans fan, but I mean, Texans games have become sort of must-see TV because he's just so much fun to watch him play. I mean, it's hard to think about a player being able to go into Seattle against that defense and do what he did. I mean, they really, you know, probably should have won that game had it not been for some iffy coaching there at the end of it and maybe a few missed holding calls by the refs. But, yeah, I mean, it's just been, you know, I mean, he pretty much, we'll see what happens the rest of the season. But, you know, as of yesterday, he had the Rookie of the Year award locked down. He just got named AFC Rookie of the Month and AFC Offensive Player of the Month. So he was the guy could seemingly do no wrong just now.
You know, it's so interesting when you go through reading through the report from Adam Schefter about this. It just initially, you know, it looked like a little ding. He'll be all right. Nobody thought anything season ending, but our report comes from NFL Network that the ACL was torn during the non-contact injury, a devastating loss, and certainly a loss that he was such a dynamic guy. And the Texans, yeah, they're not one of the name franchises, but like you said, it was much watched TV. That is not the case when Tom Savage is behind the center.
No, Tom Savage still doesn't have an NFL touchdown pass. Deshaun Watson had 19 in seven games. So it's, they just can't even think about running the same offense. And, you know, now it complicates it, too, because you know, Tom Savage is a statue. I mean, he's one of those, he's a pocket passer in the truest sense of the word. And they just traded left tackle Dwayne Brown, who's, you know, a pretty good left tackle. So that's only going to make life even tougher for the Texans. They lost Watt and Merciless this season, so they can't really rely on their defense to kind of keep games close for them the way they could with those two guys in the lineup. I mean, it's just this is it for their season. I mean, there's no, you know, injuries could happen somewhere else, but I mean, this is the end of the Texans season for all intents and purposes.
Well, on the other side, we also find another quarterback that'll be done for the year. And Andrew Luck with the Colts, as he's based on the IR, Chris Ballard announced that earlier today. Luck, it was a weird, weird offseason. Can you remind me a little bit how this all went on? There was talk, yeah, maybe he's coming back, he's a week away. This is one of the crazier situations that you can remember, and culminating where a lot of people believed it should have from the very get-go, placing him on the IR.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I mean, I saw people were retweeting the Jim Irsay tweets from August where, you know, he wasn't ready to practice yet, but they expected him by week one. And then someone would retweet Jim Irsay saying he should be ready to go by Halloween. And so it was just sort of a, you know, this has been going on since 2015. I mean, this is a bad situation for the Colts, and you have to wonder, you know, you've taken away 2.5 of the prime years of Andrew Luck's career. I mean, these are the best years of a quarterback's career. I mean, this is the time where Andrew Luck should really be hitting his peak, and he's lost for the season. And they say there's no surgery this time, but, you know, do you believe the Colts when they say that? They said that before, and look what happened. So it's, it's hard to know where this is going to go from here. Obviously, they have a new general manager this season in Indianapolis, so you hope that bode better for the franchise than the last guy did, and maybe they can handle that. They'll probably have a new coach after this season too, so we'll see how that changes. They've got draft picks they need to do. They've got a lot of work to do on that roster to rebuild the team. So, when Andrew Luck does come back in 2018, if he does, it's not going to be a great team he's coming back to. I mean, it's just a crummy situation all around for Andrew Luck, who, again, like Watson, one of the more exciting young players in the league to watch. This is the guy that should be in the conversation to replace, the Mannings and the Bradys of the league. And now it's a conversation about whether he'll ever play again.
Yeah, that conversation is out there, and I'm not going to make you play doctor here on the radio, Ryan, but, this guy, the star was so bright, and the expectations were huge for him and what he was going to be. You don't know if he's ever going to be able to recapture that, but what does that mean, for the future of the Colts as they look to have another bad season? Do they have to really take a look here? If there's a quarterback they like early on, or do you think the belief will still be, we have our quarterback, we just have to get him healthy?
I think they'll probably fall into the latter category for this year, for the time being, because, he just signed a pretty sizable contract last year. So, I mean, there's no way they can really kind of, it's guaranteed for injuries. I mean, it's a, they're going to be paying max value out of this deal, whether he plays again or not. So it's a, I think they're going to have to kind of wait a little bit and see what happens with Luck before they make that decision. But they're obviously going to have to think and spend some money, too, to get a viable backup quarterback if they're going to be competitive next year. I mean, I don't know what that option will be. We'll see what happens in March when free agency starts up again. But, they've got to have – I mean, Brissett's been okay. And if they decide that Brissett is a viable number two backup for them, then they've got to kind of, import some pieces for him to be a little bit more successful. T.Y. Hilton suffered a little bit because of the team around him stinks. The offensive line's not very good. You've got injuries hurting that unit, too. You don't have great tackles to begin with. They're leaning on Frank Gore, who's been a great running back, but he's, well over the hill part of his career. So it's a, they've got work to do in the offseason. And whether that, whether it's Luck starting week one next year or whether it's Jacoby Brissett or some other guy we don't know about yet, they're going to have to focus on building a team around whoever it is that's going to play quarterback for him at this point.
Well, of course, the trade deadline is come and gone. There actually was some movement, some compelling things out there. Probably the headliner of the whole thing is a new quarterback in San Francisco. Let's start with the guy that had been starting, a guy that a lot of people around here know a lot about, C.J. Beathard. His days as a starter are numbered. Probably one more week, and then we'll see Jimmy Garoppolo. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, maybe 2 weeks just to get him a sense. Shanahan is a he's a guy that believes very strongly in his system. He always has. So, they might want to see, give him an extra week or so to get into that. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, he's going to play this season. There's no way that they were going to trade for him. I know he kind of made a comment that they weren't under any pressure to play Jimmy Garoppolo this season. It wasn't but a few hours he walked it back and said, oh, yeah, well, we'll play him this season. I mean, they have to play him. He's a free agent after this season until they sign a contract with him or at least give him a franchise tag. So they've got to see what they've got in the guy no matter what. So we'll see him soon enough. I mean, I think Beathard, to his credit, played pretty well with a crummy set of circumstances. That's not much of a team he's got around him in San Francisco. So I think he's, he has earned a spot as the team's backup going forward, and maybe then he's somebody that can get a few more looks, get some preseason work, and kind of further his career that way.
Garoppolo, what do we know about this guy outside of, he's a handsome devil that backed up Tom Brady and did some good things. Do we know a ton about this guy as a QB?
Not from an NFL tape standpoint. I mean, he's gotten some throws in regular season work just because of, the Patriots usually have the playoffs spot wrapped up by the end of the season. So he's gotten some work, in week 16, week 17 games. And then obviously he had the two games while Tom Brady was suspended at the start of the season last year. And then he got hurt and was out, for quite a while before he could actually get back in uniform and be on the active game day roster. So, but he did really good in that work. I mean, you look at his touchdown production, he didn't throw any interceptions in two games. I mean, those weren't the easiest games. They weren't the toughest games either, but that was a good promising look for him. But I think ultimately it kind of goes back to what people said about him during the draft. I mean, you know, I think it's kind of funny because, you know, one of his biggest advocates in the draft that year was former 49ers head coach Jim Harbaugh, who knows a thing or two about quarterbacks, really liked him, really liked what Garoppolo could do. He was a coveted guy for a development quarterback prospect. I mean, you know, you don't hear Bill Belichick talk effusively as about players as he did Jimmy Garoppolo in the wake of this trade. I think that if you take the Patriots at face value, and I think there's no reason not to on this one, they really wanted to keep him. It just wasn't viable. They either had to kind of trade him now or let him walk in free agency and maybe get a third round at best compensatory pick for him. So it was sort of the, you know, a way to make something out of nothing for the Patriots.
And now the speculation, Tom Brady talking about playing until he's 45. Maybe that isn't as crazy as we thought.
It might very well be. I mean, the power of avocados, I guess, huh?
Unbelievable. Well, that is still to be determined what's going to happen in that one. Guess a couple other dominoes that are still out there. A lot of people had Kirk Cousins destined to join his former OC out there in San Francisco. That doesn't appear to be on the table right now, but Kirk Cousins is not going to have any trouble finding a job in 2018.
No, there should be a pretty – the bidding war will be – I think it's a pretty safe bet that he'll be the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL as of April 1st next year. So it's you know, he'll have plenty of suitors to choose from, especially since, you know, people don't seem to be all that sold on the quarterbacks in the draft this year. So, you know, and we don't even know for sure if Sam Darnold's going to come out yet. So that's you know, that's probably a sign that we're headed for a bidding war. Quarterbacks with Kirk Cousins' experience, and, you know, whatever you think of him, he's a viable starter, and I think he's definitely above average, even if you don't necessarily buy into the franchise quarterback idea for him. And guys like that just don't hit the market very often. And when they do, teams will buy him up. I mean, a team to kind of keep an eye on, I think, and this is going to be Jacksonville. They have a really good team in place in Jacksonville, yeah, except for the quarterback. So they need to get themselves in a situation where they have all the players in place to really, you know, build a sort of a long-term success story there. I mean, the Browns will probably be in the mix. We'll see how that goes. The Broncos, I think that's a team that's in desperate need of a quarterback, as we've discovered this year. So they'll be in the mix too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
We'll let you go with this as we're talking with Ryan Van Bibber, talking NFL with us here this afternoon with all the news. Had to get Ryan on the program. So I'm looking through the slate again. Tonight, Bills, Jets, one, okay, who cares. The Sunday slate early, awful. Broncos, Eagles might be the best, and, you know, the Broncos have not shown any semblance of an offense. It seems like it's a conversation that seemingly comes up every week. The slate of games is terrible. What's going on?
Who knows? I mean, it's just the league's been pretty tightly packed all season, so we'll see. But, you know, I think we're starting to get to that point now where you're separating the wheat from the chaff here, so yeah. It's starting to kind of divide up a little bit. Even the Sunday night game this week is kind of a stinker. So.
Yeah, and with no Aaron Rodgers, Monday night, not what many people anticipated would be before the season.
Not at all.
Well, Ryan, I really do appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on here in short order. A lot of news and always great information. SBNation.com, you guys have everything over there, but tell us a little bit about what you have up on the NFL side of things.
Well, yeah, check us out. We got, you know, if you want, we've got some more fallout from the Deshaun Watson injury, since that's kind of the big news. If you need to catch up on the trade line, obviously that's a big thing. Kelvin Benjamin with the Bills will make his debut tonight. So come and check that out too, so, and get all ready for the weekend here.
It should be a good one. Thanks as always for your time.
Hey, thanks, Trent. Thanks for having me.
Ryan Van Bibber with us here this afternoon. A big thank you to him for jumping on this afternoon. And, boy, breaking news. Deshaun Watson goes down. Unbelievable. Well, with that, we need to take a timeout. When we come back on the other side, we're going to get into a couple of different things. We're going to start and take a look at the Iowa Hawkeyes. Our friend Derek Peck from BCDivide.com, he's going to be here. Hey, if you're looking for a website with great content, they have guys that go to the press conferences every week, Iowa State. Original, different takes on the Hawkeyes, the Cyclones. Check out bcdivide.com. The guys are doing a great job over there. Derek and his brother, Corey, Cody on the other side. He's on the Cyclone side. Derek's on the Hawkeye side. Those guys at bcdivide.com is the website. Black and Cardinal Divide for Hawkeye and Cyclone fans. We'll talk with Derek. We'll talk with Ken Silverstein. Get a deeper look at Ohio State. You've heard my opinion this week. I'm still struggling to envision a scenario where Iowa can even hang in this football game against this very talented Ohio State. The front four is good. His team is very good. I'm struggling. We'll see what we could get into with Ken Decipher, and maybe you could come up with a path for Iowa to get it done. Coming up tomorrow, we got lots of things on the Cyclones as well. We talked a lot of Cyclones to kick off the show. Pete Futek joined us as always. And if you missed any portion of the program, either here or the Ken Miller Show with myself, Trent Condit, you can always find them over on our podcast page on 1700 KBGG. Go back, listen to the interviews, listen to the takes, listen to our awful picks. Whatever it may be, we have you covered on the podcast page. Quick timeout. Back with more here in a moment on 1700 KBGG.
Afternoons, we talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on The Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Napa Know How. Ice, snow, rain, and 24-hour holiday music. Winter throws a lot at you. That's why Napa has ExactFit wiper blades for $10 off per pair. These durable, long-lasting blades will help you defend against winter's worst, holiday music not included. So save $10 today with Napa ExactFit wiper blades. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 12/31/17.
Sponsored by AccountTemps. AccountTemps is the better way to find top talent quickly.
Welcome back, Jimmy B and TC, joined right now by our friend Ken Silverstein, who is with us. We talked to Ken, Big Ten, Cleveland sports, little of everything, little potpourri that always kind of hits the airwaves when we talk with Ken. And a big week, certainly, with our conversations here, Ken, not just Big Ten, but your state against my state, Ohio State, Iowa, happening this Saturday over in Kinnick Stadium. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I have to tell you, Trent, leaving Columbus Saturday, I guess it was Saturday night by the time the game ended, and ended up doing what I had to do and all that muckety-muck, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I was next. I wonder what the spread is. And then I sort of got distracted, quite frankly, that I had to drive back. And I really didn't think about it until like Monday morning, and I saw 17 points, and correct me if I'm wrong, it may have gone down, it may have gone up, I don't know. I know the last couple of days it's been at 17. And the first initial reaction I had, which I guess is redundant, first and initial, but the reaction I had was, you got to be kidding me. They must think we're a bunch of suckers out here. There's no way on this planet this is going to be a 17-point game. It's just not, okay? I'm not telling anybody I was going to win, okay? But 17's ridiculous. I don't know what the boys in Vegas are thinking about, but whatever. I don't know. Is it still 17, or has it gone up or down? I'm curious.
17.5 is currently the number from our friends in Vegas.
17.5, man, that's too big a number. I don't know what the over-under is, but that's too big a number for a spread. The reason why I think it's as high as it is I assume Vegas is still euphoric over the comeback, obviously, against number 2 Penn State. That's got to be part of it, because there's no other reason that it would be that high. I mean, all you got to do is look at the Penn State-Iowa game and realize it shouldn't be 17 points. All you got to do is look at the Michigan game, the late field goal last year, and realize it shouldn't be 17 points. I tell you what, again, I know I'm being redundant here. That's way too many. Look, I think Ohio State's going to win. They have a lot better talent. But you know what? You only got to win one game. And anytime you're a Kinnick and you got a shot, you got a shot. Meaning you got one chance of doing it. Ohio State's on a roll. There's no doubt about it. But when the schedule came out, whenever it came out, and I looked at it the first time, and I saw Penn State, and I saw Michigan wrapped around it, and I saw a road game in Iowa City in between, I said, trap game, trap game, trap game. And we'll know quickly in this one. You'll know in the first quarter and a half, whether Ohio State's bringing it. If they're bringing it, I was in trouble. If they're sleepwalking because they're looking forward to Michigan State, which is a big game for them, or they're still living on the laurels of beating number two Penn State last week, then Iowa's got a shot, particularly late fourth quarter, maybe steal a W.
I am on the complete opposite side of you on this one, Ken. I don't see any way that Iowa can keep up. Offensively inept, two offensive tackles that are freshmen. This Iowa team struggles offensively, and against that front four of Ohio State, I don't know how they're moving the football at all. I see this thing.
Well, Wiley's going to have a great, great game, and you're right. The two young tackles are going to have to play out of their minds, and you're right. There are some limitations. There's no doubt about it, but if Wiley can get off quickly, okay, and set up, you know, the play action, and they can find the tight end play down the field, and they can shrink the game. And I think there you and I agree that think of it more like one team, we'll call it Ohio State here, that wants to play run and gun. They want to use every square foot of the floor, in this case the field, and they want to go, 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 go. And I was saying, no, 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 we don't want to play that. We want to shrink this thing. We want to get this down to the last 3-4 minutes of the game with a chance to win or worse yet tie, and we would take our chances in overtime. So I think Wadley's going to have a huge game. Obviously, the quarterback play is going to have to be really, really good. And he's shown moments, you know. I mean, his touchdowns, the INTs are very impressive for a first-year starter. It's not like he's throwing picks all over the yard like, let's say his counterpart at Nebraska or some others in this conference. So, it would have been better, and I know this is something we talked about a week or two ago, if this was a, 7:30 or 6:30 start Central Time, yeah, I think it would make it more advantageous for Iowa. But it's a 2:30-ish start Central Time, 3:30-ish Eastern Standard. And you saw it, I saw it. I think Penn State's got a better offense than Ohio State. I think they have better weapons. I think Barkley's better than anything that Ohio State has at running back, even though Ohio State uses two guys that are going to gain over 1,000 yards, one Weber last year and one the true freshman, J.K. Dobbins, is at 860-plus right now as a true freshman. But Barkley's still better than those two. I think the wide receivers at Penn State are better than Ohio State. The Ohio State offensive line is better than Penn State's. Quarterback play, well, over the last six, you got to give it to Barrett.
Yeah.
But I still think McSorley's pretty good and can make plays. So, look, I think a lot of it, again, I know I'm being redundant here, you'll know pretty early, or everyone will know pretty early, whether Ohio State's ready to play. If they're ready to play and they treat it seriously and they're not living on their laurels and they don't have a hangover, then, yeah, it could be a long night for Iowa. But if Ohio State sleepwalks it through a quarter, a half, or maybe even three quarters, and then realize, whoops, they're in a game, maybe they, you know, put it into overdrive a little bit too late, and that makes it obviously advantageous for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I see Iowa has to be +3 in the turnover margin. They have to win special teams. They have to keep it a low-scoring game. I'm struggling to come up with ways that Iowa can stay in this.
Well, let's break that down a little bit. Special teams, now, obviously with special teams, they're different components. The punt game for Ohio State is really good.
Yeah, haven't given up a punt return yard all year, right?
No, they have not. They're really good. And the punter, a freshman out of Cincinnati, Drew Christman, has got a big leg. He was the number one punter coming out of high school, and he's got about a 45-yard average. He's pretty talented kid. Where you can get Ohio State, and you saw it on the 97-yarder by Barkley. You saw it earlier this year against Maryland. The kickoff return team is arguably one of the worst I've ever seen. What they've tried to do, Ohio State, and they're greedy. I mean, they're like any other blue blood program. They basically have said to a lot of their backup guys, okay, we're going to put our young guys and our backups on kickoff return and, you know, try to pin the guy who's returning it in the left-hand corner and trap them there and have them have Team X, Y, or Z have to drive the ball, now, I don't know, 80, 85-ish yards for, let's say, a touchdown. Well, they've been burned twice, okay, and almost burned three times this season. So this week, finally, Urban Meyer has decided in his infinite wisdom, put his ego off to the side. You know what? Maybe, just maybe, we need to put a couple starters in on the kickoff return team so that somebody, whomever, doesn't take it to the house like Barkley did last week on the opening play of the game, and likewise Maryland did earlier this season in Columbus. They both have occurred at home for Ohio State. So I think one of them, the Maryland one, was 100 yards, and Barkley, only 97. So he's going to add some veteran guys, some first-team guys, hoping, at least from an Ohio State perspective, that that will corral this issue. But they have been, for a top-ranked team, top 10 team, top 16, wherever you got them nationally, they have been disgraceful on kickoff returns. I've never seen anything like it as long as he's been coaching here or there. And likewise, in all the years of doing it, I don't know if I've ever seen a unit have so many issues. The other issue they have, Trent, they have two kickers. One's a field goal kicker, Sean Nuremberger. He's had a pretty solid season. They don't allow him to kick a whole bunch. When he does, he makes it. Okay, fine. They have a kid out of Buffalo, New York, freshman, highly, highly recruited place kicker. He'll be the place kicker next year. And they can't figure out between the two of them who should kick off. And both of them have knocked it out of bounds, ball on the 35. So if you're Iowa, one advantage, huge advantage they have, is on the kickoff return squad, if they can get field position, if they can get the ball 30, 35-yard line, if they kick it out of bounds or they have a good return, whatever, that will make it easier. That's one area on special teams that Ohio State has been miserable. They think they're going to improve it this week. I'll believe it when I see it. I haven't seen it so far this season.
You're hopeful from an Iowa perspective. I am not. And we will see. We'll line it up. 2:30 kickoff, and Urban Meyer gets his way. He does not have to play at night at Kinnick Stadium.
No, he doesn't. And everyone will wave at the end of the first quarter, which, as I've said before, is one of the great things you're going to see. Ohio State will participate. Likewise, Urban Meyer on his radio show, his network radio show here throughout the state today, said that his team will most definitely partake in that. They think it's great, and they will be looking forward to that. So you'll see, obviously, everyone involved wearing different colors, enjoying that part of the equation, waving at the youngsters next door. And that's great stuff, no doubt about it. And kudos to those who thought of it. One other thing in regards to this matchup, I think if I'm Iowa, I don't want my quarterback, Nate Stanley, going back, dropping back big time, and spending a lot of time back there. That ain't going to work. So where teams have had a little bit of success, the most success has been Oklahoma, because it's a lone loss for Ohio State. And I'm not comparing Nate Stanley with Baker Mayfield. I'm not at this point of their respective careers, not at least at this point. But the one thing I would do if I'm Iowa, other than run Wadley a lot and throw to the tight end a lot, short passing game, baby, get rid of that ball, three-step drop, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. Do not hold on to it, because if you hold on to it, you're not going to have an enjoyable day. You cannot hold on to the football, particularly if you don't have quick feet like a McSorley. Mm-hmm. If you're McSorley, you can drop back and make plays with your legs. Baker Mayfield can do the same thing. There are very few guys who are accurate enough, athletic enough, that they can run around, zigzag, and go wherever they need to go. And even in the later stages of the game, or the latter stages of the game last week, particularly in the fourth quarter, they took care of him, meaning McSorley, roaming around and basically snuffed him out. So if I'm Stanley and I'm the coaching staff, and I know they're going to do this, if I can figure this out, believe me, the Hawkeye coaching staff can figure this out. Now, whether or not it'll work effectively for four quarters is debatable, but this is what you need to do. Short passing, move the chains, run widely, help your tackles, and keep Ohio State's offense off the field. If they do that, I think they got a shot. If they are not effective in doing any of that or one or the other, then it's going to be a little bit more difficult for Iowa to pull the upset, let's say.
One more over in Ohio, Ken. Got to get your thoughts. What's happening with those Cleveland Cavaliers?
Oh, I was there last night. I was looking for a bottle of aspirin, please. And if I need aspirin, I wonder what the coaching staff is thinking about. They look old. They look slow, which I guess is part of being old. They look disinterested, quite frankly. They have played well against two teams because the two teams that I'm thinking of, they had to play well. That was Boston in the opener. They played well that night. And they went on the road and beat Milwaukee earlier this season. And they played well against the Greek Freak and the rest of the Bucks. Other than that, they basically have mailed in these games. Now, tomorrow night, ESPN is doing the game nationally. They play the Wiz in our nation's capital. Wiz are a pretty good team. Bradley Beal, John Wall, Otto Porter, and et cetera. If they don't bring it, they're going to get embarrassed again. And I'm wondering, they had a team meeting prior to the Indiana game. That didn't work. I've speculated, and I don't have anything to go on this other than he's available and that he has the same agent as LeBron James. And that would be a deal for Eric Bledsoe, who is obviously out of favor in Phoenix with the Suns. He hasn't played. He's not going to play until they trade him. They have dismissed those rumors here locally. But if I've learned anything over the years, when somebody dismisses something, more times than not, they're interested in doing just the opposite. So we'll see. Normally, trades are not made this early in the season when the trading deadline is in early February. But they may be hitting the panic button pretty soon. And if they do, that's the type of deal. They need better defense. They need better defense on the ball. And Bledsoe is the type of guy that can do that. Plus, he can score some. So we'll see. But right now, they're playing terrible basketball for a team that many, I'll raise my hand, thought would be again in the finals for the fourth consecutive year. Right now, that's the furthest thing from their thought processes. They just want to win a couple games in a row, quite frankly.
Good stuff as always, Ken. We'll talk again next Thursday. Enjoy Buckeyes and Hawkeyes on Saturday.
Look forward to it. Have a good week, everybody.
That's Ken Silverstein joining us as we take you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up on the other side, well, we looked at the Ohio State perspective. Now we take a look at the Hawkeye side of things. Derek Peck joins us from bcdivide.com. That's up next here on 1700 KBGG. Welcome back, Jimmy B and TC, as we take you up until 6 o'clock here tonight. As always, on a Thursday, time to talk Hawkeyes with our friend Derek Peck from bcdivide.com. It's Black and Cardinal Divide. Cyclones, Hawkeyes, they do it both over at bcdivide.com, and he joins us right now. Our conversation's presented by Murphy Tower Service. Derek, what's happening?
Oh, not much, Trent. Just living the dream. How you doing?
Trying to do the same. Yeah, living the dream, and I don't know how much living's going to be happening in Iowa City. Luckily, this is my big tailgate weekend. This is when all the old college buddies get together. Everybody comes around, and, well, I'll be able to drink a lot of alcohol, at least before the game, and maybe numb the pain that I expect to see.
Oh, I hope they can make it a game for your sake. But, hey, at least you'll I'm going to be with my in-laws in a small town called Westside, Iowa. So I'm going to have to try to find somewhere where the game's actually on television in order to watch, and it's going to be driving me insane. So,
what part of the state are you going to?
It's a little town called Westside, Iowa. It's just outside of Carroll.
Westside. Okay.
Westside.
I don't think I've ever been there before. Do they have televisions in Western Iowa?
They do, but we're going to be at my wife's aunt and uncle's, and they don't have cable. They will not have ESPN, and I've already made it clear to them that I need to watch the game, especially you know, that's one of the benefits of being involved with our website is I can say that it's work now.
Right.
So,
yes.
I've got to work. You know, I've got to find a bar. I've got to find something that has the game on. And fortunately, some of those small towns, you know, they might not have a stoplight, but they have a bar. So,
well, if you need to hit up, if you know anything in that area. And I make fun of our friends to the west, but you're all great, great people out there. Hit up Derek at BC Divide. You can find him on Twitter there. Also on Facebook at Black and Cardinal Divide. You can find him and let him know the hot spot to go to catch the game on Saturday. Oh, boy, Derek, I got bad, bad feelings here. Help me out. Bring some positivity to this matchup with the Bucks.
Oh, that's going to be tough to do, Trent. Kidding aside, it's going to take a monumental effort for Iowa to stay in this one, and from my perspective, it's going to take an incredible game out of Nathan Stanley, because I don't think Iowa's going to be able to run against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And their offense just put up, 39 points on Penn State's defense, and Penn State has one of the best defenses in the country. So, I'm a little concerned about it. You know, I was looking at stats and trying to develop an opinion that's not biased. And I noticed Iowa's defense is actually ranked above Ohio State's.
Okay, all
right. So that kind of gave me a little bit of a sliver of hope. But, it's going to be tough the way Ohio State's offense has been playing, the way JT Barrett's been playing. I was looking up stats and noticed that Barrett was 13 for 13 for 170 yards in the fourth quarter against Penn State. And he was 33 for 39 for 328 yards and four touchdowns against them. And that's the same Penn State defense that, caused fits for Iowa's offense. And, Ohio State's not any worse on the defensive side either. So it's going to be an uphill battle. But you know what? I didn't think Iowa stood a chance against Penn State earlier this year either. And I know you were – sounds like we actually weren't sitting too far apart at that game. And they – they shocked me. They made it a game, and honestly, they probably should have won that one. So it's going to take a huge effort. Iowa's defense is going to have to play lights out, and Stanley and the receivers are going to have by far their biggest game of the year in order to keep this one close.
You know, the old bend but don't break defense has been something that's been a mantra of Iowa, and you know, worked out well against Penn State. They were able to hold them a couple of times to field goal opportunities, even as they were driving up and down the field. But the problem, Ohio State, once they get in the red zone, they're very good themselves. Another concern, certainly, for this one. They made 48 trips into the red zone this season, which is ridiculous in its own right, and they've scored touchdowns on 33 of those trips. And finished off with 9 more field goals on top of it. This is a team that gets to the red zone, and then they convert. They convert it into touchdowns. This Iowa defense is going to have to play at another level, and maybe even more concerning than that, even if Iowa plays a good game defensively. And, you know, you can make the argument they got one of the best defensive ends in Anthony Nelson, who's getting better as the year goes on. You got Josie Jewell. You have Joshua Jackson. You have these pieces. How's Iowa going to score? How is Iowa going to move the football against this team that has all these athletes, a defensive front that is as good as anybody in college football with their front four? That's the most concerning element.
Absolutely. You know, and that's what we've seen out of them the past month or month and a half is not going to work. It's definitely not going to work against this defense. I mean, they've got to get creative. You know, I was incredibly frustrated against Minnesota. I was thrilled when they started the game because they started out throwing the ball and keeping the defense on their toes, you know, and it immediately resulted in a touchdown. Did the same thing coming out of halftime, and you know, aside from that, they completely abandoned it and tried to do the same old traditional predictable running, and that's just, it's not going to work against Ohio State. They're going to have to open it up. They're going to have to be unpredictable. They're going to have to be creative. And I think that's the key. You know, they got to get Akram Wadley out in space. That's how they were able to hit some big plays against Penn State, and I think that'll be key. If they want to get in the end zone against Ohio State, they'll have to do some things like that. When I look for matchup problems for Ohio State on Iowa's offense, I think it's Akram Wadley and Noah Fant. I mean, that's, to me, those are the two guys that, when they get on one-on-one matchups with a linebacker or a safety, they might be able to win those. But Outside of that, I'm not really sure what the options are for Iowa's offense.
Well, neither of us are real optimistic about Iowa's chances, but they'll line it up and play the game. Before that, the basketball team will be playing a game. Derek, when you look at the Hawks exhibition game number two, not going to learn a whole lot here, but it is official. Connor McCaffrey will be part of the basketball
right.
team this season, and I'm excited for it.
I am too, and I think he'll get a lot of reps tonight. He should get some playing time. He definitely needs to. I was, quick side note, I couldn't be more impressed with Rick Heller. Were you able to see his comments about helping Connor make the decision?
No, I didn't see that, no.
Yeah, he just was 100% in favor of it. He said it's a no-brainer. The kid has to play basketball. He's got an opportunity to be on the court, and it just he was 100% in favor of it. And just the more I hear from that guy, the more I like him.
Yeah, he is a guy, Derek, that I got to know at UNI when he was coaching there. He is. He's an excellent person, an excellent guy, somebody that really gets it. You know, he really understands what college coaching is all about, and a tip of the ball cap for him, losing
right.
a guy that, you know, maybe anticipated could help him out a little bit this season, but understanding where his bread is buttered, and that is with the basketball team and the importance of basketball on top of it.
Well, and with his dad, too, right? I mean, that's, you know, I think this is a situation where the writing was on the wall. They needed help. I mean, they have to have help at the point guard position, and I'm not sure they had anywhere else to go. I mean, I don't like the idea of Brady Ellingson bringing the ball down the court. So, you know, I mean, he had to step in and fill that role, and hopefully he can get some valuable experience tonight. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Oh, good stuff. Oh, looking forward to it. Exhibition game number two for the Hawks tonight. Derek Peck joining us, bcdivide.com, and it's presented by Murphy Tower Service. Thanks, as always, for your time, Derek.
Hey, appreciate it, Trent. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff out of Derek as he joins us here today, and we're done. We're out of time. It flies every single day. 2 hours here, 2 hours over the noon hour from noon to two with Ken Miller. Your home for real sports talk for real sports fans, 1700 KBGG. We'll be back at it tomorrow once again, a football Friday. We got picks lined up for you, a slew of guests as well, talking everything on the world. And if you miss any portion of the program, you can always go back and find us over on the podcast page over at 1700 KBGG. Any of the great interviews that you miss, including Derek Peck there from BC Divide, provided by Murphy Tower Service, and right now taking applications for their telecommunications tower technician apprenticeship program at murphytower.com. That does it for the show. Coming up here on the other side, getting ready for Thursday Night Football. It's the Jets and the Bills. We have you covered. Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, and of course the Kansas City Chiefs, all here on 1700 KBGG. Have a good night, everybody.